Hey, Kentuckiana, Katie George here. How would you like to save an extra $1,000 on a brand new Chevrolet? Well, right now, Coil Chevrolet in Clarksville is offering ESPN Louisville listeners an extra $1,000 off the purchase of any new Chevy when you use the promo code COIL75. So visit coildeals.com, find your new Chevy, then mention COIL75 at purchase and save an extra $1,000. Coil, where the flag is flying and Kentuckiana is buying. Restrictions may apply. See dealer for complete details.
The teams are back in action. Get that same feeling starting a new job with UPS. Join Team Louisville as a warehouse worker and take pride in a good day's work. Earn $14.50 per hour and up to $150 per week in bonuses. Search and apply now at upsjobs.com/Louisville.
Days with Marcus Maben on 93.9 The Ville is broadcasting live from the OPC Pest Services studio. Now, here's Marcus Maben and Steve Rummage.
Welcome back. It's Middays with Marcus Maben, 81.50. 93.9 is the number. 93.9 is the station, people. Although it is a perfect day outside, your temperature control in your home is still the most important luxury you may have. That's why DFH Company is the company for you. Simply dial 968-6222 or look them up online at dfhcompany.com. Look into that Mitsubishi Mini Split for that hard-to-heat, hard-to-cool room in your home. Again, simply call 968-6222 or it's just as easy to look them up online at dfhcompany.com.
Okay. I haven't read this one yet, so let's have some fun.
You didn't pre-read?
No, I like to do my Monday. Don't read it. Just try to do it. Let's go.
Fire away, Steve.
Week two of football is in the books, and now it's time to review the tape and get ready for week three. There's no better place to get in on all of the action than with DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app. To add to the excitement of Week 3, DraftKings Sportsbook is bringing back their can't-miss offer. If you haven't tried DraftKings Sportsbook yet, head to the App Store now because you don't want to miss this. DraftKings Sportsbook is giving all new users the chance to turn $1 into $100 when they bet on any team. If you'd done that on the Cowboys, you'd won $100. Yeah, that's right. You can place a bet, a $1 bet, on any team. And if that team wins, you can cash a cool Benjamin. How could you pass that up? Don't worry, if football isn't for you, DraftKings is giving you all giving all you MMA fans the same great offer on this weekend's UFC 253. By the way, Marcus, shout out, man. I saw your guy Kobe won this week, so I know you was pumped about that. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable, making it easy for you to deposit and withdraw your money at your convenience. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use code WLCL when you sign up to get this can't-miss offer. Pick any team during week three, bet $1, and win $100 if they win. That's $1 to win $100. Use promo code WLCO when you sign up for a limited time. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older. Indiana only. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem, call 1-800-9 with it.
Right back into the detailed part of the game. I think this is the part where people get emotional because a lot of times you want to identify. And here's the thing, Steve. In 2020, in 2019, in 2017, or 2018, whatever, there has been an extra rush. First thing you want to do is look to the coaches. I had a couple of epiphanies that I will not share on air unless I get really agitated. But in order to incite panic, you have to find a way to blame the coach every time.
Yeah.
In order to be a good argumentative, or people feel like that, you know, like the sports person in me can recognize, oh, okay, well, you don't have any emotion attached to the sport or to the gameplay. The only thing you have attachment to is the narratives, right?
Right.
So the place where you start to get drove into the narrative land is when you talk about things like third downs, right?
Yeah.
Now, do you want to discuss offensive third downs or defensive third downs?
I'll tell you what. How about I get Tino in here, and then I'll let you know, because I do have I do know the answer to that, and I know what I want to talk about.
Tino!
Tino, welcome in, man. Or as it says on our text sheet here, Tiny the Barber. That's what Nick Valvano called you. So
stupid autocorrect.
Yeah, so Tiny the Barber. What's up?
Well, he, have a thumb. He must have had a thumb part or something. Well, he was that. I don't know. But, two things I got to get off my chest real quick. First, Marcus, happy birthday, man. Happy belated birthday, man. I know you had a birthday.
Appreciate it.
second, Steve.
Yes, sir.
How about them Cowboys?
How about them, Tino?
How about them Cowboys? Hey, and I seen you was taking a little flack on social media about how you was ready to fire the team and how you called them all kinds of names. And I'm right there with you. Don't worry about that. Talk your ish. Yeah. You know that. You do your thing, man.
No, I appreciate that, Tino. Yeah, because in the NFL, it's a little different, man. In the NFL, they're paid athletes, so I get to – look, I can hate you one quarter and call you crappy stuff, and then I can like you in the next. Like,
you can actually name your kid after somebody in the second quarter.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Hey, Steve, you don't even have to do that after the next quarter. You can do that after the next play, man.
The next play. That is true. Oh, man.
As far as the game is concerned, man, I'm not too worried. The only thing I'm worried about, and I said this on the Dina show, is, you know, our defense, well, Brian Brown's defense, has trouble with the big physical teams. I mean, he had it at App State. He had a little problem with that. And, of course, against Kentucky. And now against Miami. Now, I think a lot of people ain't giving, like, they down on Louisville and not giving Miami enough credit. And I'm not saying y'all, because y'all been telling everybody that they got five stars all over the place too now. I mean, let's be honest. Miami's still Miami.
Coaches get fired so fast at Miami? Yeah. Why do you think coaches get fired so fast at Florida State or Florida? It's because they know you always have a roster that can beat anybody in the country on any given weekend.
Yeah.
Exactly. And, I mean, you got to think. They just need the right coach in there at the right time. You know what I'm saying? They just need a good fitted coach. If you look at their recruiting classes, they're top 10 every year.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? They got freshmen over right now that can start with anybody in the country.
Sure.
I mean, that's just the way Miami is. They look like the Miami of 2090, not with NFL, you know, first-round draft picks. But they got a lot of NFL players over there, and people got to understand that. Now, I think we're going to right the ship. The one thing that I really loved about the team is the little things that I was seeing is, like, when people made a mistake, wasn't nobody getting mad. You know what I mean? They was patting each other on the back. They was trying to pick Malik up when he made a bad throw or when he fumbled that time. They was picking him up. Everybody came up to him and said, don't worry about it, man. Don't worry about it. You know what I mean? Defense. Malik Cunningham went to the defense and told him, hey, we got you. You know what I'm saying? So that last year, that wouldn't have happened. They would have been over arguing. They would have been over fighting amongst each other, and they would have just quit. And I don't really at no point in the game thought that they would quit. But, hey, fellas, I appreciate y'all for letting me go, man. Long time no hear. Yeah. I am listening to y'all. Don't worry about it. Marcus, you got to get the balance playing, man. Like, I'm tired of listening and not hearing the playback music. Marcus, pay the money. Every time I call, I'm on you about paying the money. Pay the money, man.
Appreciate it, man.
Like I said, first and foremost, like, again, when I talk about predictions in the game, I feel like the coaching and the execution is what's going to put us over the hump when I say, okay, we have players in the right positions that can beat a Miami, you know, when executed properly. But I also can totally respect. I mean, when I talked about the Miami versus UAB game, I went through the UAB roster. I know what kind of athletes are on the UAB team.
Yeah.
Like, people are so quick to try to dismiss. Again, we made this point. We made it last week, Steve. When UAB program closed, you had 25 people getting picked up by big-time programs. A lot of people getting picked up by big-time programs. There's some – Birmingham, Alabama has some some good football and some talented athletes who get overlooked for the big SEC, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But here's the thing. Bringing it back to the strategy. Third downs, offense or defense,
yeah.
Where do you go?
Offense for me. And the reason why, when you asked that question, my mind was directly there was, okay, offense is what we know we're really good at. Mm-hmm. It's what we know we have the playmakers. There's no question. I know some people may not agree with me. I actually think we have some guys on defense. Like, I don't think – I think it was schematically more than it was personnel as to why those breakdowns happen. You know, some personnel. But I think you got to. I think you're going to see that changed. I think you're going
to
see.
No, but you hear the coaches say in defense, unfortunately, in football, unfortunately, you know, when you're in the games, there's a difference between your execution versus Western and your execution versus, you know, a team. These are natural. Okay, we thought, you know, he understood it, but under some real live fire or some intensified live fire, some people freeze. Or freelance, or forget their assignments.
Yeah,
when you know it's a college game day, and you know, and everybody you know is looking to be a star. I mean, these things are natural. These are natural discoveries.
Sure,
you always have talented guys who lose their discipline, lose their fundamentals in the game, especially in intense games rather than practice. So you know, so like, of course, I can be the guy that says, Well, why was he in the game? Because he didn't make that mistake in practice. He didn't make that mistake against Western Kentucky. He made it, you know, he got away with that mistake here or there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I thought he learned his lesson. But now you get an entire game of, this is why we tell you to do things this way, even though, yes, sometimes it works your way.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Keep going.
Well, no. I mean, no. I agree with everything you're saying there, and that's why I think. But for me, it was offensively on third down. Offense. The one thing I come into this season, if I'm being not, I wouldn't even call it nitpicky. I mean, but the one thing I came into this season saying, okay, I know the offense is going to be really good, and I don't think the offense was necessarily bad. I mean, they got they put up over 500 yards offense, you know, and did things, but still, that's what I said earlier. The numbers don't always reflect some of the moments. Mm-hmm. I just simply didn't like the goal line and the third down play calling. Mm. I thought.
So did you know where I was going with that, or are you just saying independently you didn't like the play calling?
No, I don't know where you're going with that. I'm just saying independently I didn't like it. I didn't necessarily like personnel that we put in. Mm-hmm. Again, and I'm very touchy about doing stuff like that because, again, I know it makes for necessarily, it's like, well, yeah, but you're a radio guy. Like, this shouldn't be. But I'm like, I don't necessarily claim to know the game of football or their system better than the coaches that are running it. So this is from my eye watching it. I thought a lot of times we ran Hassan Hall on third down when it didn't need. I thought a lot of times, there was a couple times we had third and fours and it was a clear two down situation. The one time we threw an out route for about a yard and a half. It's like, if we're going to do that, why not give Javian up the middle, man? You know, like, we're moving the ball. Javian said, you said it earlier, the holes were there. I just thought it was a little bit of a failure once you got to the goal line and once you got to third down on the play calling that they were running. I mean, I can listen to, hey, we couldn't get it downfield. We just couldn't get it downfield. Okay, I'm fine with that. But it just seemed – it got a little bland, and that's something I've never really said about this stuff.
Here's the thing. I listen to you. I shake my head because I can see what you see on that, right?
Sure.
I can see the listeners shaking their head, yes, 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 right now, right? And I can also offer a counter opinion to that one.
Okay,
that
yeah.
can also be 100% true. I spotted something last game, Steve.
Mm-hmm.
I called it out. And, okay, if I'm wrong about this one, just we'll just act like it happened because a lot of people did. I thought it may have been you, but maybe it wasn't, right? Okay, last game, Western Kentucky, I said, I don't like, and this was like our nitpicking segment. I said, I don't really like how McHale kept pulling the ball around the goal line. I don't like how he keeps pulling the ball on fourth and two, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a replica of last year's big play moments. The Evan Conley play is the exact play you run on fourth and two against Western Kentucky that almost got stopped, right?
Yeah.
We ran these plays down on the goal line last week, and I said, McHale, this is not a problem. This is not a problem. You got to give that ball up. The way we're marching that ball, and I said, it's just something subconsciously of Hassan Hall, the lineman, and Javian Hawkins all just saying, we just push this thing. It's a badge of honor for a line to run a four-minute drill or six-minute drill and run it straight into the end zone. That's a badge of honor. That, you know, that's the Charlie Strong, that's how you finish a game. You know what I'm saying? That's the feeling, right? You reward your offense with that run. And when he threw that pitch out pass that went low to Marshawn Ford, when he tried to run the sweep, that he ended up leg whipping himself on that gate at the end of the game, right? That I'm sure probably still hurts. I said, that is something that we need to address. It might not bubble to the top. It might not, you know, Javian might not feel any way. Hassan might not feel any way. The offensive line might not feel any way, but the right thing to do was to finish the four-minute drives with touchdowns going right up the gut. Right?
Right.
We get into these third and twos, these third and fours, whatever, third and shorts. You would have to admit that most of these plays you saw, there was a dive option on most of these play calls. Would we agree with that?
Yeah.
You know, whatever play actions you see, or you see a dive option, right? McHale was pulling a lot of those third and shorts. So this is the game I start to say, I feel you, McHale. You want to take the team on your shoulder. All the coaches have been saying is you got to be more of a leader. You got to be more of a leader. You got to be more vocal. You got to lead the team. McHale sees third and two, says, okay, leader, I have to make the play. But the more advanced quarterback sees Hassan Hall. This defensive end, rule number one is to stop me from getting loose. You know what I'm saying? They felt like their defensive front four or even three without the defensive end can stop Javian Hawkins. But what you have to do is contain Cunningham because they love to bring Marshawn. They love to do the little swing pass. But that dive is not getting the continuous touch, especially when that was where you were moving the ball the most, especially when Javian Hawkins says there's lanes out there all day. And here's the thing. I know there's going to be a backhand narrative that, the game was blown out. No. Two touchdowns and a field goal. When you have explosive offenses, that's not, you know what I'm saying? That's quick strike. You know what I'm saying? So a lot of that third down frustration came when it was a two touchdown game. You know,
sure
that you end up, you know, putting yourself. So you see what I'm saying? And you kind of brought it to my attention by telling me you think during halftime that was either addressed or talked about because you started, like I said, even though you were down, you started handing off that dive more. To me, you give that dive early in the possessions, it frees you up. I said it last week. I said, McHale's not going to be free to run until he starts handing off the ball in those situations.
Yeah.
There was not one situation where we felt like Javian Hawkins couldn't jump stop and bowling ball himself to a first down when he needs 2 yards.
Yeah.
If I tell you my Louisville offensive line could get Javian Hawkins 2 yards, Mikael, we gotta learn this lesson. Leader does not mean, you know, pull it. Leader means go tell your offensive line to get JV in this 2 yards.
Sometimes. Well, I have a question too. Do you think they don't trust Cunningham to throw a fly route? You know what I'm saying? Like in coverage. Do you get what I'm saying? Like okay, I've got a man out top, you know, one-on-one. Not a 2-2,
You mean kind of a more of a jump ball?
Not a hey, I've got a guy running open on a post here, different things. But I don't either. I just simply think they don't trust him to throw that pass.
The only way they trust is if you can throw out in front of Green,
mm-hmm.
where you know that extra man's in the box and you know he's going to be looking at Green. Where it's my guy or nobody.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. See, I agree with that.
Yeah. Like,
okay.
Is that
a problem?
It is a problem. Put it this way. These things are, it's a triangle that depends on each other. That handoff, that slam, you know, that Javian Hawkins up the middle. You have to get that guy down in the box.
Yeah.
Before you do that. And here's the thing. I think he'll do that. I think that's what Satterfield likes to see in his offense. You got to, whatever you do, you got to get that extra defender down there in the box.
Yeah.
I just think I think that's what he does for his quarterbacks. I think that's why his quarterbacks put up the numbers they do at App State. You know, that's why he was so successful with T.Y. Hilton. Like, you know, like I think, his style is predicated on making sure I get that guy down in the box. But if the guy's not down in the box, that's why I say Malik had to get a lesson today on Saturday about letting his team do the work.
What about this text? This is something that I believe you'll agree because you said this text says Malik needs to put some zip on the outside passes. He gets the ball to Tutu and Hassan a little quicker. They get first downs. Now, the reason I read that to you specifically is that's something you were saying to me the other night.
Mm. You have to let that thing. You have to let the thing go. But again, a Satterfield style throwing to grass, it calls for touch.
Yeah.
You know his run under the ball style is good for Satterfield, but limited. You know, it kind of takes out, you know, some of the playbook. But again, if he hands the ball off, if he gets that extra man in the box, his speed, you know, becomes a factor. Here's the thing. When this is all gross, Steve. This is why I'm not why I'm not in super judgmental territory, because I can get a video. Malik Cunningham drops back. He runs up the sideline, makes an outstanding scramble up the sideline, right?
Mm-hmm.
He gets popped on that sideline, gets his legs taken out, lands on his hip, right?
Yeah.
And I go back, I'm coach. I get the all 22 film out, and I say, look at you running, and look at you running back. I said, you just got 10% slower. Because you took that hit on the sideline. Your 10% slower is costing you effectiveness. So now you take that hit on the sideline, right? Now you can't, like, you got a little dinged up hip now,
mm-hmm.
right? So the next play where 15 is flushing you out the pocket, your hip is just still kind of, I mean, you're still fast, but you're not fast.
Yeah.
Like you know, fast, outrun fast people and bad angles fast.
Right.
2-2 outruns an angle. Mikael, you're a fast guy, but you don't outrun those angles against fast defensive ends.
Sure. I agree with that. Yeah, I do agree with that.
So to me, it's all kind of it's nitpicky, but it's growth place. You know, it's places to grow. And listen, and it's okay for you to say, okay, these make you more vulnerable to giving up snaps.
Yeah.
Yeah. Does Puma Pass play in that game if he's active? Does he play? Does he take a couple snaps to try to get a spark?
I don't. Ooh, maybe. I don't know. Yeah. See that.
Listen. When Satterfield was asked, he said, "I think Malik played very average."
Yeah. No, he did. I mean, he didn't sound overly impressed.
Enthralled.
Yeah, right. with what Malik did. Now, I don't know that we're in any kind of a conversation there as far as
It's not position removal. I'm just saying snaps to get you over here.
Yeah.
It's game day. Point guards, basketball players, big time games. You know, 3 minutes in the game, you take your score out.
Yeah.
You take your guy out. You say, hey, catch your breath, pass the ball.
Yeah.
Go get a couple of rebounds.
Right.
Go get me 3 rebounds before you shoot.
Yeah.
Now, to the fan, what are you doing? You know, this is the biggest game of the year. You're taking our No. He needs to catch his breath, and he's not reading the game. I think Malik, in big games and big moments, I think he's not reading the game.
Yeah.
He's trying to make a play, which you don't like spite him for that. Because you want your leader to try to lead, but you also, like I said, if he hands those, like I said, last week, Western Kentucky, you finished that drive with dives. You finish him with dives. I was convinced of that. Then I'm even triple convinced of it after the Miami game. You take the ball out of his hands to open up plays later on. It's not coincidence that, you know, Ian Book and Trevor Lawrence and my guy for North Carolina, they're all wide open around the goal line.
Yeah.
And Malik is always outrunning people at the goal line. We all are running the same dive play with strong offensive linemen, but we know McHale is looking to pull that football 80 to 90% of the time. And Trevor's not, Ian Book's not, and what's my guy's name, Steve? Professional from North Carolina.
Sam Howe?
Sam Howe.
Yeah.
We know he's looking to hand it off.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But the thing about that is once you change Malik's, you know, kind of way of approaching that, you let him know with your speed, your 20 yards turns into a 70-yard touchdown in the fourth quarter. So you don't have 10 rushes for 43 yards with all these losses. You know what I'm saying? With all these negative plays. You have 5 rushes for 120. But it's hard to convince somebody and still. So that was kind of my third down. You got behind the 8-ball by trying to run it and going to the Marshawn pass and kind of, like I said, attempting to be a leader. You know what I'm saying? You're still like you're in your gut. You're not waiting for Dez, you know what I'm saying, to clear out. You know, you're looking to run. You're not trusting the guys. You know what I'm saying? You're caught in trusting yourself as leader guy more than running the offense. Got to learn that lesson.
Well, when we get back from the break, what do we do and where do we go from here? And can we bounce back next week? That's the questions.
939 The Ville.
Listening to Middays with Marcus Maben, broadcasting live from the OPC Pest Services Studio on 93.9 The Ville. Now, here's Marcus Maben and Steve Rummage.
Welcome back. Welcome back. It's Middays with Marcus Maven, 8150. 93.9 is the number. 93.9 is the station. I forget. Nikki, I forget that I trust you to find non-copyrighted beats. I forgot about that.
Wait, I'm not supposed to find copyright stuff? Oops.
Say that again.
I probably should have just said that in your ear, not on the air. But
yeah, perfect.
No, listen. We share everything. We share everything on YouTube. So when you're talking to me during break, everybody likes to hear our back route conversation. So just know.
So everybody heard that whole hemorrhoid cream conversation during the break. So I hope you get that taken care of.
A lot of guys have that problem.
Okay. All right. I should have warned you. Yeah. I should have warned you about the hemp conversation.
Yeah.
I should have warned you about talking about your dad.
Yeah.
Yeah. YouTube. Yeah. So if your dad's looking at YouTube right now, he heard you.
Yeah. So we got all that going on.
But, no. But here's the thing. I won't have to do the on mute, off mute to the listeners if you want to hunt down uncopyrighted material, and or if people want to send you, what is your Twitter?
Me?
Yes.
It's
Nikki, promote your Twitter.
Oh, okay. All right. Appreciate that. It's Nikki V ESPN, and the V and the ESPN are all capitalized, so it's Nikki Vespin is what we call it. I had the worst Twitter handle on the planet. It had underscores. It was a nickname that no one called me. It was just really bad. And so, your former midday counterpart,
yep,
Lachlan McLean, berated me on air and made sure I changed it. And it honestly was probably the best thing he ever did for me or the station, to be honest.
Fair enough. We did the same. Like, you know, Marcus had some, I can't remember what his used to be back in the day. What was yours back in the day? Mine was like Stiz 502. And it was like,
Stiz 502?
No, Stiz, like STIs. Listen. Yeah, it was
Sizzle Rummage.
Yeah, it was like something. Terrence Farley he used to call me
Rummage.
That. Yeah, he started calling me Stiz, and I was like, okay. So I just used it as my Twitter name because I made Twitter with him, like when we made Twitter, and him and Jeremy Wallman. I was like, we were sitting around making Twitter, and we were like, oh, okay, well, it's back in like 2009. You know, I was like, y'all want to create a Twitter?
This thing will never last.
This is Facebook. Twitter's Facebook. That's what those conversations we were having.
Did you still have a MySpace in 2009?
No. Close.
I was going to say, it was like, that was right around the time it went away.
Man. Yeah, my MySpace page was sick. Dude, I had
Beats.
No, what was yours? Yours was like, because it was something silly. Because I changed it to Steven Rummage.
Texters, what was my old Twitter handle?
Gosh, what was it, man? I remember it. It was like,
so funny.
Card something, Text. Or it was something. It was Texters. Something like had nothing to do with anything.
What? It was awesome. Mine was awesome.
No, I feel like it was good.
My Twitter was awesome.
It was like card something or something.
Was five involved in it?
I don't know.
Number five.
Yeah, I'm not giving away.
Mayday.
Are you reading the text line? Somebody knows.
No, he had Mayday. That was his email.
If nobody knows what mine was, I'm going to be hugely disappointed.
Yeah, because it's like, wow, it must not have had a lasting effect.
It must not
like
have
you,
had
like
any
you thought.
Effect.
Yeah.
Like that I thought.
Thanks for the follow, you jackasses.
Yeah. Appreciate it.
But here's the thing. I hit like 9,000 under my old name.
Okay,
that's a flex right there. I've had one Twitter handle and I've only had I'm approaching the level of I follow two times as many people as follow me, which is just gross.
Ooh.
I'm gonna have to start cutting.
I was trying to find the line on that one. See, Nikki, I was trying to find the line. Like, how many follows is too much as opposed to, you know, how many followers you have.
How many people do you follow?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, it's bad. It's like 3,800 and probably about 2,500 follow me.
How many people do I follow?
Good job, Craig. Craig Hensley. Great job.
Okay. I follow 1,400 people.
But, Nikki, you have to follow everybody. Like, your job is to have a contact list bigger than anybody else's.
That's true.
It's my job to follow him, but I'm going to be honest with you. Like, I'd say, what?
No, sorry. The mouse was like, I was looking at the screen and the mouse was moving by itself. And I was like, oh, my God. But I realized that the – yeah, it kind of freaked me out. But I realized the mouse was being pulled off the table.
By the wire.
Oh, no,
what
I
would
was
be
stepping
the ghost
on.
Of the 93.9 The Ville
studio? Oh, my God. Be... Oh, the ghost of the 93.9 studio. Mike Rutherford, maybe?
That's so simple. No, no, no. You know who the ghost is. Steve, do better than that.
The ghost of 93.9.
I thought Rutherford was pretty strong.
No, no. No, Mike the ghost of 93. Listen, the ghost of 93.9 is one person, and I just need you to think about it, Steve. And I'm channeling,
I think
to
I
your
know
brain.
Who it is.
I know you know, Nikki.
The ghost
and Steve should know.
Of 93.9.
I am channeling. Listen,
Spencer Keats.
Scott, damn it, Nikki. Spencer, let me figure it out.
Spencer.
Spencer
was my answer. Spencer was my answer.
See what I'm saying,
thanks,
Steve.
Thanks, Nick. Nick just said it, but I knew.
I was literally trying to. I was trying to use what is ESP? You know, just,
ESPN. Yeah.
Yeah, I was trying to use.
Well, ESPN. I was going to say Jeremy. So you said so you were doing a terrible job.
No, it's Spencer.
I think you were hitting Crane with the ESP there. Yeah. Crane just shot up and was just like started giving like Casey Royal.
Crane started.
Did
like,
Crane know Spencer?
Crane, did you know Spencer?
No. Never met him.
Really?
I never met him.
Oh, my God.
Not got a lot in common.
Listen, people.
You think you'd what?
I think I'm lucky based on what I've heard.
He's a good dude.
Spencer is a good dude.
He's my friend.
It ended with Steve and Spencer when we were at Freedom Hall.
Now that is true.
That's
what. Well, what's this story now?
Yeah.
It ended that day.
It was terrible.
And then. The funeral service was the day Spencer Keatsman said, "You think politics has something to do with the Louisville, Kentucky rivalry? I mean, like, how ridiculous is politics being affected by the rivalry?"
Yeah, yeah.
He said that to Steve, and Steve was just like, I mean, it was like one of those. I don't think I've met a less intelligent person in all of my life. Than when Spencer said, and he was yelling, like he was in that producer booth yelling at Marcus and yelling at Steve. It was almost one of those, hold on, first, check your tone.
Yeah.
Second of all, check your tone.
Mm-hmm.
Third of all, if you don't think rivalry and politics are intertwined in Louisville versus Kentucky.
Yeah.
How long have you been here?
Yeah, it was. Listen, and that's why that day I was kind of like, okay, you don't. I actually told him on the air. I'm pretty sure I said, well, with all due respect, you don't know anything, so
you don't belong here.
But the day
this happened in the press box?
No, in this room.
Oh,
right here.
Studio. He was sitting right where you're sitting, Nick.
Yeah,
well, I thought it started at Freedom Hall.
Well, Freedom Hall.
No, these are two separate.
Oh, okay,
Freedom
okay.
Hall was just. It was the most.
Sorry, I had to answer a phone, so I apologize.
It was the most disrespectful moment I've ever had in my life. They were having a AAU tournament, right?
It was the worst.
And we were in there, and there was an open court, right? And Spencer was like, "I'll play Steven one-on-one."
Oh,
or
God.
Something like that, and I'm like, I mean, like, for money? Well, what are you talking about? Like, you're talking to me, like, you know, and I'm like, are you serious?
He had loafers on, and he was like, I could take you.
Yeah, so.
Like, let's do this right now. So he wasn't drinking.
Spencer was like, wow, I guess we don't have to because you have Sperry's on. I'm like.
Oh, that's what it was.
I'm like.
That's what
I literally have to look at this guy, and I'm like, I've never been so disrespected. It would be like if some kid walked up that was about, and I mean, I'm not the baddest dude on the planet, but, you know, like a 5'8", 120 kid walked up and just smacked me right in the face and looked at me and was like, punk. I'd be like, I don't even know what to do.
It's like, well, I've got two questions. One, are you a jockey? Because if that's the case, then
go
on your way, sir.
Sure.
I'm not messing with you.
No, fair.
But, and if you're not, then do you have any loved ones? Because you probably want to call them right now.
Because I'm like.
The challenge felt so absurd that it was almost like, oh, okay, you ever see guys at like the pool hall and they do these trick shots and they say, I bet I can make this 9 ball
go around that ball 17 times with only one hit of the stick. Yeah. And then, you know, and then they do some kind of stupid little trick and, you know what I'm saying? And then technically it goes around 17. But it's like, but, you know, it looks, actually, it was a 7 and an 8 ball. So the total number was 17. So, ha, I won. You know what I'm saying?
A little smoke and mirrors. Yeah. Gotcha.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, what does he have up his sleeve? Because I'm looking at Steve like,
Because I'm like, you don't think I can't beat you in Sperry's?
I'm thinking this is going to turn into one of those, like, you know, Charlie Murphy, like, true Hollywood stories, like, true ESPN Louisville stories with Steve Rutledge. Like, the cat could ball. Like, you know, Spencer is just,
That slipped into my head, too. I'm like, he's awful confident. I'm
Cause
like,
because the dude can golf. I mean, he's a good freaking golfer.
But I knew that. So, like, if he was like, if we were out there and he's like, oh, let's go right now, you know, long drive. Like, no,
but also, here, there's another problem, Nikki. There's another huge problem. Nikki, you can tell within 7 seconds of somebody getting on the ice and picking up their stick and 3 taps of the puck, you can tell how, you know, you can almost identify immediately.
You can tell in the locker room, and also based on what they say. Oh, I used to play hockey. First up, no, you probably didn't.
Right.
Second off, like street hockey, we all did. Thanks.
I know.
Like,
Because he said something like, "Let's do some hoops or something," and it was like that was like,
hoops was what he said.
Yes,
he was like, I could beat Steve in hoops.
Yes. Like, so that was like red flag number one.
So I went home. I'm looking at myself like in the closest mirror, and I'm like, do I look that? Like, have I fell off this bad?
Like, How washed am I?
I know. Do people look at me and just go, oh, I can beat him?
Listen, I need to call somebody. I need to lose 50 pounds immediately. Because if
I'd have known about vitality back then, I'd be like, today. Vitality.
Sterling.
Right now.
Yeah.
Help me.
Obvious, what I see in the mirror is not what somebody else sees.
Yeah, because I'm I thought he was going to make a joke like, oh, well, give me 15 or 16 and we'll play to 24. You know, then I would have been like, oh, well, okay, all right. You know, he's making all right. But I'm like, and I still probably would have won. But I'm like, dude. So anyways, needless to say, it was the most disrespectful thing. Real quick, we want to get to Philly Carl?
Yeah, absolutely.
Philly Carl, welcome in, man. What's going on?
Man, I listened to the whole show, and Rummage, you took the high road, was a no-shot fired. Yep. But I called because of you, Marcus. I'm not that fan that ducks and dives at the radio when we lose. Yes, we suck right now, but I don't duck and dive. So I said, even at the end, I'm going to make sure that I call, even though I've been listening to y'all the whole hour. Okay. And the whole time, Rummage didn't fire any shot.
I know.
Yeah, but here's the only... I'm glad that Brian takes the shows. A couple months ago, you didn't want to pay that. You didn't think that was worth it. Then you come in there today talking about the 300 and 400 yards he threw. Yeah. I said, I'm so sick of you Cowboy fans.
He's awesome. He's worth every dime. He's a $40 million quarterback. Yeah, pay him his money.
2 months ago, you didn't want to give him a dime. Oh, Rummage, you get on my nerves sometimes.
Well,
y'all have a good one.
The economy changes.
Ooh, Rummage, you get on my nerves.
The economy changes, Phil. The economy changes. He's $40 million. Enough. He's $40 million now. Yeah. Speaking of Pennsylvania, and he's Philly Carl, we do got a top 25 matchup next week with the chance to get a little redemption.
Ooh.
We did stay in the – we also took the high road today, too. Because, Marcus, we could have went that route today, too. Like, you know, we did still stay in the top 25. I mean, we did still, like, you know, we aren't.
I mean, it was, listen, it was in the chamber just in case I had to go down that road, see?
Yeah.
But I left about 6 in the chamber that we're going to be discussing all week.
All week long,
man.
There's
going to be some energy all week long. Y'all better get ready for Pittsburgh, though. I know that much.
I know. Yeah, y'all can be out here losing again.
Come on, Lions. Come on, Cubs.
Ugh.
Go, Cubs, go.
Isn't that sad? Isn't that sad?
As
that's
always,
what you've been reduced to.
8150-939 is always the number. 3831-939 is always the text line. The YouTube channel. It's made for the Ville. Midday to Marcus Maven on 939 The Ville.
Hey, Kentuckiana, Katie George here. How would you like to save an extra $1,000 on a brand new Chevrolet? Well, right now, Coil Chevrolet in Clarksville is offering ESPN Louisville listeners an extra $1,000 off the purchase of any new Chevy when you use the promo code COIL75. So visit coildeals.com, find your new Chevy, then mention COIL75 at purchase and save an extra $1,000. Coil, where the flag is flying and Kentuckiana is buying. Restrictions may apply. See dealer for complete details.
The teams are back in action. Get that same feeling starting a new job with UPS. Join Team Louisville as a warehouse worker and take pride in a good day's work. Earn $14.50 per hour and up to $150 per week in bonuses. Search and apply now at upsjobs.com/Louisville.